Okay. Alright, so last week we were talking about tochen, the melacha of grinding. We discussed a little bit about grinding as grinding into flour, as well as grow this? No? Okay. Grinding, as well as grinding, meaning cutting vegetables or other things that grow on the ground into very, very small pieces. Those are the two definitions that we gave. And then we gave a bunch of the limitations, a bunch of the other halachos related to grinding. We talked about grinding that doesn't apply to bread and to grain products because it was already ground in the processing stage. That was one limitation. We said that doesn't apply to things that don't directly grow from the ground, such as meat or eggs or chicken and stuff like that. So basically it's left with fruits and vegetables and dirt. I think we mentioned dirt also, right? The Gemara seems to say that the dirt is also included in grinding. So if you take dirt and you crush it into little pieces, so that's going to be a problem of grinding on Shabbos, of tochen. And again, even if you're not going to go outside and like go play in your field, go play in your dirt outside, which maybe some kids will, but let's say you won't. And anyway, the dirt is mukta. But let's say if you had dirt on your clothing or on your shoes and you find a way, even if you don't touch it directly, you find a way to go like this, you have to be very careful that it's not definite that the dirt is going to be crushed into little pieces. Mm-hmm. If you're not sure, it's okay, because that's what we call davar sheino miskaven, which we learned about already. Mm-hmm. But if it's definitely going to happen, even if you don't care if it happens or not, that's psik resha. So you have to be very careful about that. Again, I don't know how often you get dirt on your clothing or your shoes, but it definitely could happen.
Wait, so if you get dirt on your shoe and you consciously shake it off?
Yeah, I mean, if you take your hands and you pull it off in a way which will cause it to
crumble?
Yeah. Somebody asked me a question about this a week or two ago, and I already don't remember exactly what it was. I think she was saying that on her floor, maybe, that she gets dirt of some sort, and then the minute that you try to pick up the dirt from the floor and like stuck on, then it crumbles. Mm. So I think it was dirt. Again, if it's food, so it depends what kind of food. If it's like, you know, grain food or cakes or anything like that, then it's not a problem, because we said before, in tochen achar tochen. And if it's meat or stuff like that, it's also fine. If it's fruits and vegetables, then you might have a question.
Mm. So if you're at a beach and you're like, you have that clumpy kind of sand and you pick it up.
Yeah, so again, sand is also muksa, so you're not really supposed to pick it up in the first place. But let's say you find a way to do it indirectly. Can you do it like this or with another object or something like that, which might be okay in some situations. So it would still be a problem of tochen. Again, sand. Yeah, I guess it would be the same thing. I mean, if it's really clumpy and you end up dividing up into little pieces, then it might still be a problem. The only difference with sand might be that the whole thing with the sand was that anyway it was little pieces, and now it's just merged together, but it's not actually one entity, meaning as opposed to those other things, we're actually crushing it and making it into a different entity.
Sure.
Sand probably is different than dirt. So I guess we could argue, even if the sand is clumps together, it might not be the same thing as something else. It might be less of a problem, which again, sand is generally mukta, so it'd have to be like sand in a sandbox, which is already used for the kids to play with. It's not something which is set as, you know, something like that, maybe. Anyway, so those were some of the things we talked about in terms of tochen. We also spoke about the idea of doing it immediately before use, about miyad, doing it right before your meal. We said that in situations where you're cutting fruits and vegetables, so you want to make sure to cut them a little bit larger than usual. And also, you want to make sure to try to cut them right before you eat, because we said last time it's not so clear exactly what is considered to be the measurement of cutting vegetables too small. If you remember, we said we don't know exactly how small is small. So in order to get around that, we try to cut them a little bit bigger than usual, and also to make sure to do it right before the meal, like boer. Okay, basically, during your preparation time before the meal, you know, within whatever time is preparation time, a half an hour, 45 minutes, but not 3 hours beforehand.
Side question.
Yeah.
Given that, what I learned a long time ago, if second day event or first day event, if you're allowed to cook extra, if you're going to be preparing for your kids a portion, and you make a little extra, like enough for everybody else, you haven't caused a lactic problem. I'm asking, this: if you're cutting up pickles for tuna, and you know you're making enough tuna, you know, you shouldn't be preparing yourself for another day anyhow, but if you are doing it for Friday night, it's going to be enough for Friday night and the second meal and third meal.
Right.
Is that considered not doing it immediately before use? You're making the tuna salad tonight, you eat some tonight, but most of it's going to be tomorrow, whatever. That's the question.
Yeah, that might be a problem.
Okay.
Meaning,
you're making more
than enough. If you think there's a chance,
is the can
put it this way. Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
If there's a chance that you might eat it at night, then that's probably okay.
Okay.
If you're doing it in a way, again, I don't remember who says, I think the Shmir Shabbos says this, you're doing it in a way which you want to do it to make sure that your guests like look like they don't have enough. Meaning, sometimes you cut up, you prepare more than is necessary because it should look like there's enough. Even if there's enough, but it looks like a little small. If you have guests, let's say, or whatever, they might not want to eat. Right. So that situation also, I think the post can usually say it's permissible in these types of cases. That's included in the heter category. But if you know for sure that half of it is for tomorrow, and there's no chance you're eating it tonight, then I think it's would say can. It's a problem.
So you're going to say open a big can, and you could open a small can if you had right. If you only had a big can available, and the big can's more than you know, the families would like to eat. Right. Sure, I'll deal with it if it happens.
To figure out how to deal with that. Like and what happens if you leave it?
We like tuna.
If you leave it in a container until the next day, is that doable? Yeah, meaning take half?
It's not great for the can. It's not. Once you open a can, they talk about botulism and all that stuff. It doesn't happen overnight.
No, but don't keep it in the can. Meaning, take it out of the can and make half of it and put the rest of it in like a Tupperware or something.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Or something like that.
Don't worry, man. I'll let liquid straining all over the place.
Oh, I see. All right. Yeah, you can't get out of all the problems, right? All right. The Seder. And then we mentioned also the thing about the mashing of the bananas. So let's go through a couple other points that we didn't get to last week. And let me know if I forget anything or if you don't remember anything that I didn't mention. In terms of the, I guess we'll start with the mashing thing. A couple points in terms of the mashing. So the first question is, can we say that there's a machlokas about mashing, let's say, bananas, where you smash it down, but it's still like one entity, sort of. Okay, you have a solid banana, let's say, and you smash it for a kid, for example. And now you still have one entity, but it's a very different form than it was before. And now it's mushed. So we said that's a machlokas between Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Chazon Ish. And Rav Moshe was more lenient, but he deferred to the Chazon Ish also and said it's better to follow the Chazon Ish if you can, if it's not a big deal, and try to make sure that does not get done on Shabbos. The exception to the rule, which I don't think we got to this yet, but with the Shinui, did we mention that? That you could do it with the Shinui, maybe. We didn't mention. Okay, we'll get to it in at some point before tonight is over. All right, there is a way to do it which is permissible, but it's got to be a not regular method. It has to be, you know, with the back of your.
Okay, well, that would, of course, bring up the question of what's a regular.
Okay, yeah. So we'll get Gabriel. We'll get to that. Okay, we'll get to that.
The reason you do it for the baby on the
right.
Baby, you know,
right.
The baby.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You squeeze in the outside, you squeeze the spoon. I don't know which way is a regular.
Right. Okay. Good. So we'll have to. I can't say I know either, but we'll talk about it in a few minutes.
Okay.
Before we get to that, the first question is there a problem of mashing when it comes to, let's say, cooked vegetables? Okay, we said before the vegetables are definitely a problem of cutting. That's for sure a problem of
tomatoes.
Yeah, so let's say now the question becomes not talking about cutting your cucumbers and your tomatoes and your pickles or whatever. Let's say we're talking about your cooked potatoes or your cooked carrots in a cholent or in a soup or something like that. Can you cut them into very, very small pieces? Is that considered to be like the regular case that we had before of cutting raw vegetables? Or is that considered more like the case of mashing with the bananas or something else? So the answer is it's actually not so clear what the halacha is in that situation.
I think you're talking about like cutting a steak for a baby, or cutting like,
no, steak is fine. That's meat, right? We're talking about the potatoes or the vegetables.
Got it.
Again, meaning the vegetables were vegetables when they're raw. We said is definitely a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Question is, when you cook them, is it any different? Because when they're cooked, they're already pretty soft.
Mm.
So when they're already soft, maybe when you mash them, it's not really any more significant than it was before. I mean, it's already a different form. Maybe it's a little bit better.
I'm thinking of potatoes as not being that soft. Maybe I'm thinking of a baked potato.
Yeah, you're probably thinking of a baked potato. I'm thinking of a cooked potato. Yeah, I'm thinking of a potato in the cholent or in the soup.
Okay.
Baked potato, there's more reason why you would say it's a problem. Okay. Meaning, as opposed to bread, where it was already ground when it's processed, and then you cut it up later, that's okay. For vegetables, it's not necessarily the same thing. Okay. So basically here, so in the Shulchan Aruch, they talk about similar cases, not exactly the same thing. So maybe we'll go straight to the Shmir Shabbos on this one. See if I can find the right halacha here in the Shmir Shabbos. He says here, here we go. You know, I actually brought an extra Shmir Shabbos if you want to use it here, if I can find the right halacha. This is the old version, but it should be pretty much the same. Let's see if I can find it. In my new version, it's halacha tet. Yeah, look at that. Okay, here, halacha tet. It's parak hey. I'm sorry, parak vav. It's parak vav, right? Halacha tet. So let's see what he says here. Halacha tet. He says, peirot v'irakot shenitzracha chum me'od al yedei habishul. Right? If you have fruits and vegetables that were that became very soft through cooking, v'hem nochem me'od l'risuk, and it's very easy for you to basically smash them down and make them almost into a, like a mush. So he says, Nifkamehem Isur Tchina. Okay, the Isur of Tchina has disappeared from them. That's why you'd be, according to this, you'd be allowed to spread cooked fruits, which, again, what's the word? This might be English word. Confitura. What does that translate as? Is there a word like that? Does he have that word in there? Confitura. I don't remember what it means. Okay, I'm sorry.
There's a type of a fancy word for jelly.
Yeah, is that what it is?
A fancy word for jelly.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think that's it. I think you're correct. Anyway, so that type of thing, he says you're allowed to spread that on a piece of bread. What's the idea here? So if in the footnotes, so he quotes basically the Chazon Ish, who held that even though for a banana, we said before, a banana, he said, was a problem, but for cooked vegetables, the Chazon Ish was a little bit more lenient. And he felt that cooked vegetables would be okay. However, the question is how cooked is cooked here and how soft is soft? That's the big question. And that's what's not so clear here. Just so you know, this comes from, this is from the Ramah. Okay, and Sif Yud Tet. We're not going to look at it inside because it's a little bit tricky, just all the details of the different types of smashing and cutting. But it's in Sif Yud Tet, it's in Shinuch Aleph, if you want to look it up. So basically, he says that it's permissible to do these types of things. And there, he doesn't even mention Tochen in the Ramah there, but it seems like it's permissible regardless. It would be okay. The question is that he brings down in the footnote, in footnote 22 here in the Shmir Shabbos, is that Rishlom Zalman Orbach pointed out that that's true if it's totally smashed up and basically all that you would need to do in order to eat it would be like a little bit more mashing. That would be maybe what we're talking about here. The problem is, says Rishlom Zalman, maybe that's not the case if you're talking about things which are, like certainly what you were talking about before, a case of a baked potato, but even something which is cooked, but it's not that soft, okay? It's somewhat soft, but it's not that soft. So in order to eat it, again, sometimes our soup is like this, sometimes not, but okay, you gotta cut it, okay? It's not just if you go like this with a fork or a knife and push down a little bit, it's gonna smash up. It's not like that. So if it's not like that, I think that what Rishlom Zalman is saying, and this makes sense, that would not be what he's talking about here, okay? Mm-hmm. They're talking about not cooked vegetables, but rather mashed vegetables, like mashed potatoes, let's say, something like that.
Right.
Okay, or something which is close to mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. So that type of thing, which is almost entirely mashed to begin with, so for you to mash it a little bit more is permissible. Okay, but if you're just talking about vegetables that are cooked, but they still have to be cut up with a knife or something like that, or even a fork, so that would seem to be not as clear-cut to be permitted, and that probably would be better to be not here.
So if you have a big, like some people make soup with like the whole carrot, you know,
right.
Like,
yeah.
And you just can't eat it, like it's too big.
You can eat it. Oh, wait, so what are you saying, to cut it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you could definitely cut it up. Again, what you just would need to do is you shouldn't cut it into tiny pieces. You should cut it into medium-sized
pieces. And...
Right, yeah, medium, again, and they could be this big, even a little smaller than that. And again, in this case, you're doing it for immediate use. It's for miyad, so it also makes it much better.
Right.
We said last time that many poskim hold that miyad is also permissible, and we try to do it also, make it a little bigger. Mm-hmm. But that would be fine. Again, if you're cutting it with very small pieces, then it might be a problem if it's not easy to just mash up, you know, just when you touch it.
And did you say, I'm sorry, is there a baby factor? Like if you have a baby and the baby can't eat a big piece?
So in those cases, you certainly can, again, to mash it is certainly permissible. Because to mash it in that case is where Moshe said it was okay.
Right.
Okay, so he said better to be machmir, but if you can't be machmir in a case like that, for sure you could do it. Right, and you can also do it with a shinui, correct. You can also do it with a shinui. I think Moshe would say you don't need to use a shinui in that situation
for a baby.
You could if you want, and it's not a bad idea, but I don't think you need to.
Mm.
He says technically it's permissible anyway, just he deferred to the Chazon Ish. What might be a problem, though, is to cut it. Maybe not to mash it, but to cut it into very small pieces, according to what we're saying here.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not easily mashable right now, it's not that soft yet, then to cut it into very small pieces would still be a problem according to this. Again, some would hold even in that case it's permissible. Even if it's somewhat soft, they say that just any time that it's cooked is fine. But it seems like what we're saying here, and I think this is what's somewhat recommended to follow if possible, is to, if it's somewhat soft but not totally soft, then it's better to try to follow the regular rules and not cut it into very, very small pieces, you know, slightly larger than usual, however much that is. Again, any normal size carrot piece would be fine, just not very small pieces. And again, you're doing it for immediate use. That would be, again, I think that would be the way to go here. But yeah, there are other opinions, so it doesn't, you know, it's not the only opinion.
I'm sorry, you define immediate use. Is there a time limit?
We said it's basically how much time you need to prepare for a meal. But if you're in the middle of the meal, that's for sure immediate use. We spoke about it for Borer.
Right, right.
If you're preparing for the meal beforehand, then you have however long you usually take to prepare for your meal. But if you're actually in the middle of the meal and you're cutting it right now in order to eat, that's for sure miyad. Yeah, everybody would agree with that.
I found the word that I've not seen before, but that's the word confiture.
Where is it?
It's for jelly.
Oh.
C-O-N-F-I-T-U-R. It's a fancy word for preserves.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I see it on jelly sometimes here.
Within the preserves, and that's one of the synonyms of... You're very close to that word.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Shkoyach. All right. Next point. That's in terms of the vegetables. Now, what about... I think we had one practical case we were going to mention about making avocado, right? So I'll tell you one halacha that he mentions here in Shmir Shas. And then if either of you are a little more expert in this than I am, because we don't usually eat that in our house because nobody wants it. Nobody wants to eat it. So you can fill in some more details about exactly how one does it in the proper way. Okay. You see what he says here in Shmir Shah, the same book over there, Halacha Zion, at least in my version, it's Halacha Zion. Take a look there and see if you can find it.
Same page? I mean,
Should be, yeah. Yeah, right there. Halacha Zion.
Pirut.
Pirut Chaim, that's how it starts? Yeah. Okay, so it's the same thing. Pirut Chaim, raw vegetable, raw fruits. Pirut banana, or avocado. Ein lamor chalal prusat lechem, you can't spread them on a piece of bread. Mishum yisur tzchina. Okay. Why? Because of the Isra of Tochein. Elim Kain, Hein Rakim Me'od, unless they're very soft. Kach Kesha Ochez B'miktah HaPri, such that when you hold part of the fruit, Ein Ashar Nigrar Acharav, the rest of it does not, doesn't get held with it. Okay, meaning you hold part of it, and the rest of it is not held with it, it's basically separate. So, that would be maybe a little bit different, meaning in that case we would say that maybe it's already considered to be totally ground. In which case it would not be a problem. But if it's not that soft, so then it seems like it would be problematic to spread. So now, tell me, based on that, actually, if you want to, before we go on that, he says in the footnote here, it's in footnote 18, he has an idea here from what's called the Tehillo David, one of the Achronim. So he says that anything, that his opinion is that anything which is guf echad, kol shu guf echad, v'nishar guf echad, well, that is one entity and stays one entity, aim is any shum isr tochin, there's no isr tochin. That's again the same idea as Rav Moshe says about the mashing of the bananas. So he wants to say here also, maybe in some situations that might be relevant for the case of the avocado as well. But the question is exactly how much of one entity is it, how much is it mashed, and how else do you serve it? So if you want to give me some more ideas about how most people... serve avocado or guacamole or whatever.
Yeah, it's mashed. It's totally...
So what are you doing on Shabbos? That's the question. Let's say you were going to make it. When would you make it first?
You have to make it right before the meal.
Okay, so you want to make it on Shabbos. So exactly what are you doing? So
you're peel off the skin.
Right. Okay, which that is permissible because you want to get to the inside. Then we know. Okay.
Then the truth is you probably de-pit it first. And then you peel off the skin and then you put it in a bowl and then you mash it up in the bowl.
Okay.
With a fork.
Okay. So,
and wait, squeeze lemon? Wait, what's the lemon deal? Can you put lemon
on the salad? We said a lemon on a salad is permissible.
So, lemon on avocado?
So, probably it's okay. Avocado is still solid. Yeah, I mean, that's not considered liquid. So, that probably, according to most places, that would probably be fine.
Even if it's mashed or not mashed.
Yeah, yeah, either way, that would probably
be
fine.
It's not liquid.
Correct, yeah. Somebody actually asked me about that in Shabbos past Shabbos.
Really?
Randomly. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Forced me to remember. I was like, okay, what are we learning again? You know, that's right, a few weeks ago. I don't remember what I taught then. But anyway, it came back to me. Okay, so that's basically, so the first question is to take the pit out is going to be a question. How are you going to, that's going to be a question of Borer. Again, I looked for this case of guacamole and some of the other books, and I didn't see it.
Really?
I was surprised. I thought there was more there, and I didn't remember Rubiat's book. I didn't see. He just mentioned it very briefly.
It's the pit is such a, it's so big. You have to de-pit it. It's, it's a unique pit, right? Because it takes up half the fruit.
Right. So would you say that's a problem? Okay, I have to look a little more. It would seem to be. I mean, it would seem to me that should be an issue. Is there any way of just not taking out the pit and just taking the part that you want, the outside part, the fruit part, vegetable part? Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know this. I'm just not unfortunately, certain things that we just don't. We just don't eat certain things in our house, and I'm just not so used to.
Well, you'd think I would have thought it would have been equivalent to a huge piece of meat in the challen, and you would say that it's
right, separate. Right. The difference is here; it's all one fruit. So if it's all one fruit, and you have a part of the fruit which is inedible,
okay.
And it's on the inside, so again, if you could just take out the outside, just take out the actual stuff that you're going to eat from the outside and leave the pit, that would be better. But I don't know if that's possible.
You're cutting in half, and you're pulling them apart.
Right, I understand. Yeah, so that's what you're doing. Like, so you can say, well, the part that you're taking that you're going
to
eat is the good part.
And the
part
that you're going to
eat, like this. This is the bad, this is the good. Okay. That we could, I guess that's that you could get out of. In terms of the mashing, so that's the big question. All right, so mashing probably would be the same thing as we talked about in terms of the banana, that Rav Moshe would say maybe it's okay if it stays as one entity. Okay, it's mashed like a banana that's still basically one big thing. That's sort of what he's saying here also. That would be okay, according to Rav Moshe. And again, the Chazon Ish would say that you should be machmir. So we said even Rav Moshe says it's better to be machmir. So it seemed to be that that l'chadchila it's better not to do that. And the question is, what are you supposed to do? So one option is to rely on the leniency that says that as long as you do it right beforehand, miyad, then you could permit it. That's one option. That's not great. The other option is to say, according to Rav Moshe, that it's permissible. Meaning Rav Moshe would say that if you really can't prepare it in advance, right, it's something you really have to do shortly beforehand, correct? In order for it to taste good.
It's a little funky. Yeah.
Right, okay, yeah. So in order for it to taste good. So if you can do it right beforehand, Rav Moshe would probably argue in that case that if there's not a good other option, it's probably permissible. Hmm. So if you do it and you do it right before, so then according to Rav Moshe, you're okay. According to the Chazon Ish, one might argue that maybe you can't do it on Shabbos, in which case, I guess you just can't eat it on Shabbos. Again, I apologize. I'm sure that somebody talked about it somewhere, and I just couldn't find it when I looked. I need to look a little more because this was like a very common case. You know? Maybe it was in my notes somewhere, and I couldn't find it. But I think that's what I remember. That's certainly according to Moshe. If that's the only case, the only way you could do it, then there's probably room to be makil about it. Then according to the Chazon Ish, maybe not. And again, what he's saying here in the Shmir Shabbos is if it's... I don't know what he's talking about. I think he's talking about a case where it's already mashed up.
Mm.
It was already mashed up, so then there's a question, maybe you can put it on a piece of bread if it's already very, very soft.
Mm.
But our question is, well, if you need to mash it up in the first place, right? So that's, he's not really talking about that here. The other option, by the way, which we'll get to shortly, this I guess would be a good option, is to do it with a shinui. That might work, right? If you know how to do it, which we'll have to get to in a few minutes. So let's keep that in our minds, and we'll come back to the shinui question in a couple minutes, and we'll see if that could work. All right. Next. Any questions before we go to the next point?
No, we're good. We're still in Tochen.
Yeah, this is all still Tochen. We haven't finished Tochen yet. I think we'll finish Tochen now, but we're not going to finish before the end of tonight, I don't think. I thought we'd maybe start medicine tonight, but I don't think we're going to start that now. Probably wait till next week. Okay, next point. Are you allowed to use a kli, some sort of special utensil, for grinding or for cutting when it comes to Tochen?
Mm.
So the answer is that, let's see. Let's look inside. Take a look if you have a Mishnah Berurah, or one of you has at least. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. It's in Shin Chaf Aleph.
Shin Chaf Aleph, yes.
Yeah, so in Shin Chaf Aleph, Se'iv, Chet.
Chet is right up top. Ain't
Kot. Yeah, Ain't Kot. So there's a couple Simon here that talk about it. Let's see. Okay. There's two Simon here that talk about it. All right. So, in Sifchet, he has one case. Ein kotzin melach b'madoch shalitz. You're not allowed to cut up salt. This is talking about coarse salt, not like the salt that we have today, but you know, regular, natural salt. You can't cut that up as tochen in a madoch shalitz, in a wooden pestle. Then he has a way that it's okay if you do it with a handle of the knife. We'll have to get back to it later. Why can't you use a wooden pestle, though? So basically, the idea is that the Mishnah Berurah sort of points this out in Sifkatan Chavav. He basically says this in the last four words in Sifkatan Chavav. He says, "Kemetei miuchadim l'dicha." He says that this utensil is used specifically for grinding something up and making it into very small pieces. So therefore, here you can't do it. Same thing is true in Sif Yud. If you look at Sif Yud, he says, "Asur li gerur hagvina b'shabbat." You can't grate. Okay. Cheese on Shabbos. Now again, remember that cheese, we said before, cheese is not subject to Tochen. Remember? Okay. Why?
from the ground.
Yeah, it doesn't grow from the ground. Okay. But still, you're not allowed to grate cheese. Bin morag charutz baal pipiot shekorin rilayu. Okay, what in the world is this? It's some sort of grater. I don't know exactly how it works, but some sort of grater with, you know, little things of holes and sharp with something or other. That's basically what the Shulchan Aruch is saying here, that you're not allowed to do. And if you look in this Mishnah Berurah, in the Sukkot and Laman Vav, so he sort of explains the idea here. And what's the problem here? Is the problem a problem of tochen? Well, if it's a problem of tochen, then why is it usher for cheese? We said that the cheese is not subject to tochen. So what's going on? So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he gives the answer, the very important idea here, that according to many of the Rishonim, they say, Shekarna Rialu B'Lashon Ashkenaz Reb Eisen. Reb Eisen is a some sort of grater. Okay. So he says, why? Since it's a specifically designed utensil only for grating or grinding, how is it derech chol? It's considered to be what we call uvd chol, okay, a weekday activity. It's like the case of crushing spices in a machteshet, which is also the same idea, okay, using a utensil to crush something up. And the same thing is true for any other type of utensil, which is designed specifically for that purpose. That's forbidden. So even if you eat it right away, it's still usher. Okay? He says you're allowed to cut it up into small pieces with a knife in the next line because it's not gedulei karka. Okay, cheese is not vegetables or fruits, so that's right. Permissible. But you can't use a utensil because it's uvde d'chol. All right, it's considered to be like a weekday activity. You're familiar with the expression?
Yeah.
Using the utensil, using the grater, or using the, whatever the first thing was, the pestle.
So if you had like a fancy cheese.
Oh, okay, so hold on. So basically, the question is, are there any cases that we would have practically today where this is relevant? So to be honest, I don't actually know so many, but it's an important idea, so I'm sure there are other cases that I'm not familiar with. Number one, definitely to use a grater is usher, that's for sure. Okay, you can't use a grater, because that's exactly what we're talking about. It's a kli which is designed for cutting or chopping.
Right, like those, you know, crushing. Cheese knives that has like a little thin... So I had a triangle of cheese in Shabbos, and I couldn't use it. I couldn't cut it.
Probably not. What is it called, this thing?
What, the cheese grater? The cheese cutter?
Yeah.
It's like a, looks like a triangle.
Yeah.
And then it has a little slit in it, so you can get like sliced cheese.
Right. Is it something you could get the same slices by just using a knife or no?
No.
No. So that's probably, probably usher then. Anything which will do a much better job of cutting it, chopping it in little pieces for you, then a knife would probably be usser. That's basically what we say. There's another one. What do they call it here? He talks here about an onion cutter. Anybody know what the name is? Something that cuts onions? I don't know if there's... I don't know what it's called. Some sort of device that cuts onions also into very small pieces. Like, you know, cuts it...
Dice?
What?
I don't know.
Unfortunately, again, I'm sorry, I'm not the best person to know these things. But that's that would also be usher, okay? Because it also it's used in a way which is very hard to do on your own. So that would also be a kli which should not be allowed on Shabbos. Again, I apologize. If we could check at some point, I should check to see what it's called, this onion thing. But I think it's a pretty well known thing. And I'm sorry, I don't remember what it's called. Anyways, that's forbidden as well. What is permissible, interestingly enough, is, again, I don't know how many people here have it, but what's called in Hebrew,